Hey, family, what's up? What's up? I am here and I am ready to talk all things cortisol. So, a lot of you have been on my TikTok, on my Instagram. We've been talking all things adrenal cocktails, high cortisol, low cortisol. And this episode, baby, we're gonna break it all the way down to the ground about what is going on with cortisol. Now, this episode is gonna be focused more on high cortisol, and I may come back and do one with low cortisol, but I will say, if you are dealing with any type of cortisol imbalances, this is going to be super, super helpful. Let's talk about a lot of the things that are going on right now. In the month of April, we're just kicking off the month. We're all excited. We're going into the tax season. You just came back from spring break. The kids, got these last 9 weeks of school. You're feeling good. You're ready for summer. Baby, we already hitting them temperatures today. It was like a high of like 82 in Arizona. So we are all getting ready, right? We're in spring. Spring has sprung, whatever you want to call it. But what I'm also seeing is an increase in anxiety. People are stressing about elections. They're stressing about taxes. They're stressing about bonuses. They're stressing about all the money they spent over the spring break and how they're not going to be able to do things for their family the next few months. We're stressing about finances, our health, our everything. And then we want to just jump onto social media, see a post about cortisol, throw in some minerals, take in some magnesium, and hope it makes it all better. If it was that easy, trust and believe, if it was that easy, I'd airdrop it to everyone, but it is more than that. So let's talk about cortisol because I feel like cortisol gets a bad rap. Kind of like estrogen. We love estrogen because it's that good go-go juice. But then when we have too much of it, we're like estrogen dominance. We hate estrogen. But let me tell you, your girl over here, I have been in medically induced menopause and it is not fun when you don't have any estrogen. Many of my perimenopause people and many of you that are in menopause and are past menstruating, no more periods, living the good life, if that's what you want to call it. You know what it feels like to not have any estrogen. It sucks. Like it flat out sucks. If you want to know more, jump on back into those episodes where we talk about estrogen, progesterone, estrogen dominance, the balance. So the reason I say that is to preface this that we don't hate estrogen. We don't hate cortisol, but what we don't like is an imbalance. So I start the conversation by saying that because many of you have gotten that foundation. You understand that there has to be a balance between progesterone and estrogen and everything else going on. But then we come to cortisol and it's like, okay, either your cortisol is high and you're wired and tired, you're gaining weight, you got the belly fat, you got all the extra cushion for the push-in. Then you have us that are on the no cortisol side. And so if you have no cortisol, you're like having trouble waking up. You're like, I don't really wake up till 2 o'clock. And then at 2 a.m., all the energy hits you and you're ready to like clean the house from top to bottom. I want you to pause right now and just slow down and focus and take this in. It's all about balance. Too much of anything is the issue. We do not hate estrogen. We do not hate cortisol. But I'm telling you right now, if you got too much cortisol, it sucks. Cortisol is a glucocorticoid. Cortisol essentially delivers glucose, sugar, to the brain. It is released by the adrenals, which are those little tiny peanuts on top of those kidneys in the back. The thing is there is a cortisol receptor on every system in the body, your immune system, respiratory, reproductive, nervous system, the musculoskeletal, right? Like cardiovascular, like everything has a cortisol receptor. The reason I say that is because many times we just think of cortisol, sex hormones, what can I do? And it's bigger than that. If you have high cortisol, you can resonate with those receptors on every point in your body because every single cell in your body is breaking down. If you have high cortisol, it's not just wired and tired. It's going to be a lot of other things. And we're going to talk about a lot of those symptoms. When we're talking about cortisol, it is really the component that helps your body respond to stress. Now, I want you to remember there are internal stressors and external stressors. Many of the times, I'm jumping on my soapbox. We focus on all the external stressors. My boss pissed me off. The kids are up, didn't clean the house properly. This weekend sucked. Someone broke into my car, all of these things outside. But when you are managing a chronic illness, when you are dealing with health issues, no matter who you are, those health issues are an internal fire, and those internal fires can be just as detrimental detrimental as an external fire. But if your body is managing endometriosis, PCOS, fibroids, you know, Cushing's disease, MS, any of the other issues, that is an internal fire as well. Now, cortisol acts against inflammation that occurs in the body. So it actually helps you balance the inflammatory response inside of your body. It supports your immune system, helps regulate your metabolism. If you're running from a bear and your body is trying to get you to a safe place, do you think your body is thinking about balancing your hormones and making sure you have progesterone so you can be nice and calm and get some sleep? Do you think your body is giving you any energy to break down that lunch? No. You eat the food, you're super bloated. You're not sleeping at night. You're tossing and turning. There's a list of things running in your head 24/7. You just went to work and spent 8 hours at work and you can't tell me not one thing that you accomplished because you didn't get anything done. You question your own sanity, you hate your job, you hate life, and then at the end of the day, you're like, I don't even know why I feel that way. Because sometimes you feel perfectly fine, and then other times you feel like your world is crumbling around you. Let's talk about some of the signs and symptoms of high cortisol. Black stretch marks on your stomach. Now, I'm going to raise both my hands on that one and a foot, right? Like, I'm all up on that one. That was me. I remember looking at my stomach and I was like, I don't know what the heck happened, but it was like someone clawed the heck out of me overnight. I woke up, I was putting on my leggings to go to the gym. I'm unhappy with my body. I'm bloated. I'm in an endo flare. And then all of a sudden I look down and I'm like, holy crap, like, what is this? I remember making an appointment and they're like, oh, we'll get you in whenever. I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, I look like I've been attacked overnight, like black stretch marks just clawed in, deep, horrible scarring. It was horrible. Smelly sweat, hot flashes, bad breath, watery eyes, cold and flu-like symptoms. Every time you turn around, you're sick. You're waking up with aches and pains, hair loss, hair thinning, constipation and diarrhea. Now, sometimes you can have all of your butt locked up and then you can have it running a million miles an hour. But sometimes when you look at high cortisol, it goes back and forth. Like, you just literally have gut dysbiosis. You don't know what your gut is going to bring to you each and every day. It's always a different ball game, and you just pray that it works out and you got all the pills, potions and lotions to push you through. You can sometimes have some additional scarring response, right? Maybe you get a mosquito bite. Maybe you have a small lump and a bump, but your body is scarring very easily. You get infections very easily. Nothing heals easily. You have irregular periods, heavy bleeding, possibly some estrogen dominance. It's always that wired but tired. You're up all night, but you're exhausted. You have a hard time waking up. And then around 2 o'clock, all of a sudden you're like, I'm wide awake. Half of my day is gone, but here I am at 3 o'clock. I'm ready to go. And that's if adrenal fatigue doesn't kick in, because if that's the case, you have no cortisol all morning. You're exhausted. The adrenal fatigue kicks in, and then you literally wake up around 6:30 or 7. Like, how? I mean, that just sucks. You have all these things you need to do, and your body is literally not alert till 6 or 7 o'clock at night. You are pacing. You have a hard time sitting still. You don't like to really sit down because you're always trying to keep your body in motion. Sometimes you feel little tremors throughout your body. Unexplained panic, confusion. You're always bouncing your leg, tapping your arm, swinging. You know, you're always in motion because your body just can't sit still. You feel depleted. You feel very successful in your career, yet you don't really feel like you have any purpose. You're like, I'm going through the motions. I just won the award, but I'm numb. I'm floating through life and I'm numb. I'm lonely, but people invite me to events and I don't want to attend. You've got a lot of water retention. You're always sick. The wind can blow, as I always say, and there's something wrong with you. It doesn't matter what supplements you take, what juices you drink, what water you take in. It's like, no matter what you do, your toxin bucket is an overload. Those are some of the signs and symptoms of high cortisol. And many of you I know can relate. I'm listening to this list right here. And let me tell you, like I said, my own trauma and drama is why I was bringing this episode and this content to you guys, because all of a sudden I wasn't sleeping well. I was easily startled, and I don't get easily startled. I am not easily rattled. I'd wake up startled. It was almost like something had stuck my finger in a socket and I was always wound up. Keep in mind, some of you have also been exposed to mold, and that can be the same thing. But right now we're talking about high cortisol. There's really two or three different responses that your body will give when you have high cortisol. You're either in fight or flight, You're in rest, digest, and heal, which most of you are not in. And then another response is freeze. You are frozen. Frozen in time. It's like those movies that you watch where, the scary situation is happening and the people should be running, but they're frozen in fear. Your body is literally shut down. You are numb. You feel trapped, disconnected. Sometimes you're nauseated. You may have rapid breathing, heart palpitations. You're just not really sure what's going on. And you have a lot of pain. Your immune system is basically checked out. It's like, see you later. You're very much disassociating from the situation. You're the person that has been going through the entire year. And if someone asked you right now, like, hey, what are some big wins or things that went on for you in January, February, and March? You would have no idea. Absolutely no idea. Like you're frozen and you're just like a robot. You're checking in, you're checking out. You know what to do to be nice. You know what to do to be mean. You just kind of stay in the middle and you don't want to cause any drama, right? You are literally frozen. Then there's fight or flight. Like this is a true stress response where your body thinks it's in danger and you're running. Your mind is racing. You can't find peace no matter what you do. There's not one tea, essential oil, a bath rub, a massage, a nothing that really does calm your body. You're always going to carbs. You're trying to find something to give you that, endorphins that feel good. You're always running to food to give you that hug. Your body is stressed out. You have a lot of digestion issues. Typically, your digestion is going to be a little bit slower. You have a lot of pain and tension. You're anxious. You're angry. You're afraid. You're very emotional. But when you're in it, your body is just doing whatever it can to go. And once it gets going, once that train starts going down the hill, it is no backing down. When you are in rest and digest, that is when you're in a healing mode. The healing mode is where you can relax. You feel peace. You can actually digest your food. Your immune system is stronger. You're able to fight inflammation, fight illness. You don't feel like your body is just dragging you through and you're just a part of the process, right? When you're able to be in rest and digest, you can take those deep breaths, those inhales and exhales. You're able to have a gallbladder that shows up and helps you break down your food. Your heartbeat is under control. You're not having those asthma attacks, those heart palpitations. Your bladder, if you have IC, right? It's not always spasming. Like everything is chill. Everything is calm. Everything is good. For a lot of you, you have no idea what that feels like. No idea. Maybe you feel that every once in a while when you're at a spa, when you're in a massage, when you go to yoga, and even then, you're not able to turn your brain all the way off. There's really three modes. You're either in fight or flight. You're running, running, running 24/7. You're either frozen and paralyzed with fear and you're just numb, or you're in rest, digest, and heal. I'm going to stick in the rest, digest, and heal for just a minute because many of you are managing a chronic illness and this is where you need to be. This is where you're frustrated. You've got the nutritionist, you're doing the perfect workout, you're taking your supplements, you're doing the grounding, you're doing all the right things, and you're like, my body is not responding. This is the missing piece for you right here. Your body is not responding because it does not feel safe. It does not know that it's in a safe place to repair. That's going to be a big one for you guys to unpack. When your body is in rest and digest, it can heal. If you've been managing a chronic illness and you feel like you're doing everything and nothing is working, I want you to go to those three and see where you're at. All right, so let's talk about testing because I mentioned I did some testing at the beginning of the year because it's something I do every year, but I also was having some issues with my sleep and I was like, okay, time to dig deeper. Before I go into the testing, this is what I will say. Everything in your body is connected. Any test that only looks at one hormone or one function is only going to get you so much information. Everything is connected. What I am starting to see, not only with myself, but other people that I work with, especially in my hormone restoration program, there's all this cortisol, and then all of a sudden, the estrogen may be okay, may be high, but progesterone, it is M. IA. If your body is shunting all of its energy into producing cortisol to keep you up and going while you're running from the bear, while you're stuck in fight or flight, it has no energy to produce progesterone, which you need to help with insomnia, to calm you down, and that balance that we were talking about earlier with the hormones. So on my testing, there were a couple different things happening. Before, I had really low cortisol. So about a year and a half ago, when I woke up, I was just exhausted. There was just literally no cortisol. I was just running on empty. And then around 2 or 3 o'clock, it was like, hey, let's get it, let's go. And then if I had any adrenal fatigue, it would kick in around 6 or 7, and all of my energy would show up. This time, what I seen was a pretty decent cortisol, like it was all right, but then all of a sudden it surged all the way up and then it stayed up. When it was staying up, I was like, oh, that makes sense. That's why I'm exhausted at night, because my cortisol was actually getting really high at night. I was having heart palpitations. I'm like, what's going on? I made some nutrition changes. I made some lifestyle changes. And then I was like, okay, it's time for my yearly testing. Something is not right. For me, I had some stressful things going on in my personal life, right? Business and everything was good, but there was a little personal drama at the end of last year. And this is where my body was keeping score. Another thing that we need to look at, and that's something that I'm really working on, is the EMF exposure. And I'm going to do a whole episode on how EMF does impact your hormones. It does impact your cortisol. That's why I said some of you guys are doing all the supplements, you're doing all the things, but you're really going to have to ramp it up on the lifestyle things. So let's talk about some of the causes of this, right? It can be chronic stress, it can be chronic illness, possibly insomnia. But then it comes to where it's like, okay, is it the chicken or the egg? Is my cortisol high because I'm not sleeping, or am I not sleeping and that's why my cortisol is high, right? So it can go back and forth. Also, your chemical exposures. What type of products are you using in your home? I know. We love our candles and our fragrances, but a lot of you, those are endocrine disruptors. It is literally kicking your butt because you have all those fragrances which are having an impact on your body. Childhood trauma. I know. We don't want to talk about it. We don't want to deal with it. We want to put it in the back of our minds, but your body is holding on to that and you are seeing the results of trauma. You could possibly be dealing with a head injury. Maybe you've had some surgeries. Possibly you're dealing with some chronic infections. That can be Lyme disease. There can be mold exposure. Maybe you've had chicken pox. Maybe it's EBV. There's so many different things that are going on, and these are all things that are going to impact your cortisol. Blood sugar imbalances. This is a huge one. Many of you are taking different supplements, different pharmaceuticals because you're trying to lose weight, you're trying to balance your blood sugar. But I'm telling you right now, there has to be a balance in your blood sugar. If your blood sugar is always high, your body is inflamed, you're not able to concentrate, and there is no way that you're going to be able to balance your hormones if your blood sugar is all over. So if you're always hangry, if you have to eat on the dot and you just can't function, if you miss a meal and your heart is racing, or if you're that person, not that I'm saying that you have to fast, but let's say that you have to go a little bit longer without food and your whole body is falling apart and you start having, mood fluctuations, anxiety, cravings, fatigue, all of those things. You have to understand that when that is happening, your body is really in distress. And when it's in distress, it does not feel safe. Therefore, you are going to see the fluctuation in all your other hormones. The overflowing toxin bucket is something I want to talk a little bit more about. The way I like to describe it is we all have a toxin bucket. So when you are eating certain foods, right? When you are in different environments, maybe you're, around some mold, you're taking in processed food, maybe there's some cigarette smoke, medications, maybe you're, there's all the maybes. There's so many things that you can come in contact with, but that toxic load is making a difference on your nervous system. It is making a difference in your hormones. And so I really want you to take some time to assess your toxin load, your toxin bucket, and do what you can to remove these endocrine disruptors because they are playing a bigger role than a lot of you want to give credit to. So let's start talking about things that you can do to help if you have a cortisol imbalance. Number one, I always recommend you do some testing. Saliva testing can be helpful, but I really love the Dutch test because it is going to look at what hormones are coming into your body, how they're metabolized, and how all those other things come into play. You also need to realize that if you have high cortisol, you are going to have some gut dysbiosis, and that's going to look different for everyone, which is also why I love for people to poop for science so that we can take all that information in and truly create a plan. Number one, meditation, prayer, and deep breathing, right? Maybe that's a number one, two, and three, but doing something to express gratitude, to sit in your purpose, right? That is a way to calm your body and calm down your systems. Maybe that's 5 or 10 minutes in the morning. Maybe there's some deep breathing in the evening. These are some of the small things you can do to decrease your cortisol. I know, you want me to just hurry up and get to those supplement recommendations, but baby, there's going to be some lifestyle changes as well. So we're going to tap into those first. The other thing I recommend you do is identify your trigger foods. If you are eating foods that are inflaming your body, that is not supporting your physical health, your mental health, your gut health, or your nervous system, and it's inflaming your body. And if you have more inflammation from refined foods, different things that may not work for you. And when I say to look at your trigger foods, I'm not saying to sign up for a diet plan or jump on the keto train or paleo or whatever. What I'm saying is identify the trigger foods for your body. What is kryptonite and trigger foods for me could be perfect for you. You have to figure out what works for you. If you have no parameters, you don't know where to start, I would definitely look at, how does gluten affect your body? How does dairy affect your body? And that's why I love for people to kind of journal and keep track of what they're eating. Because if there are certain foods that you eat and then you start feeling more agitated or you start having more gut issues or you're more, locked up or gassy and bloated and all of these other things, that will let you know that it is a trigger food for your body. So that is very important. Movement, regular exercise and movement. Now, when I say movement, I did not say you have to work out and do 45 minutes of cardio every day or join a CrossFit class or go to Zumba every day. I just said regular movement. That can be cardio, that can be strength. Maybe you're like, I don't get time to move every day, LJ, but I walk my dog twice a day for 10 minutes and I have a standing desk and I try to get my steps in. Whatever you can do to move your body is going to help you move out of that flight or fight, right? It's going to take you literally and move you out of that freeze, out of that frozen mode, increase your endorphins and elevate your mood. That is huge, 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 huge. The other thing I will say is if you are sure you have been diagnosed, right? You've done the testing and you know for sure you have high cortisol. A bunch of cardio, baby, that may not be for you. You may need to calm it on down and do some low impact workouts, Pilates, barre, walking, yoga, doing some things with some stretch bands. Maybe you're going to do some cardio where maybe it's intense for 60 seconds and then you do strength for 90 seconds. You do the 60, 90, work with a trainer, figure it out. But please know if you have high cortisol, that cardio is going to stress out your body and work against you. So please, 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 when you choose your movement, choose wisely. Acupuncture, massage, chiropractor, different things like hyperbaric chamber, red light therapy, deep breathing, all of these things are really, really important. I know sometimes we just want that pill potion or lotion so that we can just get to the other side. But deep breathing, we have an episode coming up on that. Breath work is so important. I've been doing a lot of breath work as well. And I'm telling you, it was an adjustment for me. Like breathing in for four, holding for seven, pushing out for eight. Yeah, it doesn't sound fun. It doesn't sound great. But when I was doing that consistently and bringing in my essential oils to calm down my nervous system, amazing. Now, you guys know I'm an oily baby and I love my oils. One of my favorite oils when I'm feeling stressed out, when my cortisol is really ramped up, is vetiver. It is like a natural, just legit, a natural tranquilizer, right? Like it doesn't knock me out and put me to sleep, but it definitely helps with circular thinking. It stops all the mind chatter. I love to put vetiver on the bottom of my big toe. Just a little side note for my oilies. I love to do that. I will also rub vetiver on the back of my neck and on my spine. There's also another oil called Balance. It's really good for grounding. It is very consoling. It is almost just like a warm hug. Like that's the best way I can describe it. And then my other favorite is adaptive. It is very calming. It increases my dopamine, which is also nice because I'm working on healing my gut. And when your gut is off, the dopamine is off, all your neurotransmitters are off, which also reflects in a lot of anxiety and depression. There are so many different essential oils. So you really just have to find the one that works for you. Serenity is great because it'll calm your nervous system. Roman chamomile. I don't care what mood I'm in, but anytime I use Roman chamomile, it's very calming, soothing, and it always makes me smile. Like I love the smell of Roman chamomile. Like it is one of my favorites. So essential oils are really, really calming to the body. Recently, I did a free class here in Phoenix, and before we started the class, I took a bottle of balance oil and I put 3 or 4 drops in everyone's hands. I had them rub it together and do what we call a pom pom. And we just inhaled that in. So here's what I love about essential oils, right? Especially when you have a lot of gut issues and you just want something to calm you down and you want to smell something great, right? A fragrance that's not going to jack up your hormones. As soon as you inhale fragrances, it starts to mess up your hormones. But the same way, as soon as you inhale essential oils, it takes 20 seconds to hit the brain and start to calm the nervous system just like that. So just taking in that oil and inhaling it, holding it in and releasing it. We did that probably for like 90 seconds, begins to calm the entire body. You can also rub it on your chest, on the bottom of your feet. You can rub it on your spine. I am all things oily. So lots of fun tips. You can find a link in the show notes if you guys want to check out some of my favorites. I threw like all my nervous system calming oils all in one link. Feel free to add what you want, subtract what you don't need, but lots of suggestions there. When it comes to essential oils, I love them because they're easy to apply. You can also use them with children. Make sure that you check with your physician. You can also just throw them in a diffuser. It's really nice just to have a really calming fragrance. I've had my nephew over sometimes and he gets a little bit hyper and he loves his oils, right? His mama's got him on his oils. He's got his little roller. For kids, there's a roller called Calmer and they love it. He is loving it. And what's so nice too is even kids know when they're feeling revved up and they just want to feel at peace. That's just amazing. I mean, I could go on and on and on when it comes to the oils. One thing I will mention is if you feel like your nervous system is more charged up around certain times of the month, you really want to look at your cycle. Make sure that you are working with your cycle and not against it. I'm just going to drop a little tidbit on this one. The first 2 weeks of your cycle, your body is really focusing on decreasing inflammation. And week 3 and week 4, it is focusing on detoxification. So if you're starting to feel more agitated that week, you know, week or two before your cycle, it's okay to bring in some additional support. Another thing, as we start talking about supplements, because I know you guys are hanging on to your seats for these supplement recommendations. Magnesium, and did I say magnesium? One of my favorites. Magnesium-rich foods are going to be almonds, spinach, avocados. Keep in mind your trigger foods. I know some of these are amazing foods, but they are triggers for me. For example, cashews are high in magnesium, but baby, they do not work for me. When it comes to magnesium, if you are taking a magnesium supplement, you need to check with your physician, whoever you're working with, and make sure you're taking the right type of magnesium, because not all magnesium is created the same. Magnesium citrate and oxide are really great for digestive health and constipation. But then you've got magnesium L-threonate, which improves your brain and cognitive abilities. Then there's glycinate that helps with anxiety, depression, restless leg syndrome, insomnia. We've got magnesium malate, which is great for chronic pain and depression. We've got magnesium orotate, which is going to help with the gut-brain axis. Figure out which magnesium works for you. Most of us are mineral depleted. Why? Because while our body is running from this bear, while we're all stressed out, with that day that you're at the office and you're all on pens and needles and you're sweating bullets preparing that presentation, as you were sweating those bullets, your body was literally dumping minerals. A lot of these side effects and things that you're feeling, yes, your cortisol is high, but you're having an exacerbation of symptoms because you are mineral deficient. My favorite way to take in magnesium, and I already did it tonight. I actually did my magnesium bath. Then I came on here to do my recording for the cortisol podcast, but I love a magnesium bath. Here's a little side note. Magnesium baths can be amazing. I love magnesium lotion, gel. I love everything magnesium. But this is what I will say. If you are applying magnesium lotion, magnesium gel, you're in a magnesium bathtub, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, I think I'm itchy. I'm itchy. I think I'm allergic. There's something wrong with it. Most of the time, you could have an allergy, so I'm gonna let you decide what you need to do with that. But most of the time, when you're using magnesium and it makes you itchy, it's because you're deficient. Your body is literally pulling the magnesium through your pores. Keep in mind, we still need to make those lifestyle changes. Ginseng. Ginseng is super amazing because it's able to help your body during stressful physical activities, when you need energy, when you're trying to perform, also when you're trying to get in your movement, right? Sometimes you just need that extra little kick, that extra little boost. You also have maca root. Now, maca root is an adaptogenic herb. Really, really powerful. It's bringing in vitamin C, amino acids. It's also really helpful for sexual dysfunction. So if you're slipping into the perimenopause, if that libido is trying to run away and stress is getting the best of you, this is another really great recommendation. Next, we have ashwagandha and rhodiola. Now, typically you will find these rolled together in any type of product that's like adrenal cortisol management, cortisol manager, adrenal support. Now, what I love about ashwagandha is it's really a great remedy for stress and anxiety and supporting your adrenals. Remember, those adrenals are those little peanuts on the back of your kidneys. Then you typically will see some rhodiola. Now, that's really great for the HPA axis. Cortisol is going to be dampened. It's going to be somewhat suppressed. I'd like to say it helps your body to better metabolize it. We don't always want to get rid of all of the cortisol, but you want to make sure your body can actually process it and you can get some improvement. Holy basil is also amazing. Licorice root. Now, this is what I will say. If you are having cortisol issues in the morning, licorice root can be really amazing, right? Getting some of that into your adrenals, into your body first thing in the morning can be really, really good. Keep in mind, licorice root has been traditionally used to increase the cortisol in the body. So if you have did some testing and you know for sure that you are high cortisol, be very careful when you're bringing in licorice root. That is why with all of these supplements, you really do need to be working with a provider so that you are bringing in the right things for your body. One more final recommendation, Schisandra berry. I love it. I love it. Most of the time when you think of Schisandra berry, you're thinking more womb wellness, and that can be very helpful to help with toning. It's like a tonifier when it comes to your womb, but it's also really great when you are mentally drained, physically burned out. You need some energy. You need some stamina. You need some support. I love it personally because I like to use it for womb wellness issues, but it has been seen to have some really impactful results when it comes to managing cortisol. So with this episode, I really want you guys to find your footing, right? Educate yourself, decide what you need, go to your practitioner, go get some testing done, and then take it from there. The other thing I will say is that I love to bring in some of these nutraceuticals, these different recommendations, but if you are nutrient deficient and your body is literally depleted of the foundational blocks, those building blocks are missing. There's holes in your program. There's holes in your foundation. Throwing random supplements at symptoms will get you nowhere. Another thing that you can do is blue blocking glasses. Now, I don't necessarily have a favorite. I have a couple different brands that I use depending on what quadrant of my home I'm in, but blue blocking glasses really do help to calm the body in the evenings, block everything out, and really start to calm the body so that you can have that melatonin come in. Now, let's talk about some nutrition things that you can do when it comes to balancing your cortisol. Having an adrenal cocktail around two or three is really, really helpful. Not all adrenal cocktails are created equal because not all collagen is created equal. I put a link to my favorites. I love to use doTERRA's MetaPower Advantage. I put in my MetaPower. I have probably 4 to 6 ounces of organic fruit juice. I really love orange juice. That's what I bring in. I put in about a half a teaspoon to a teaspoon of Redmond salt. I also like to put in some Atlantic Dulse. Like I like to put in as many herbs and minerals in as I can. I don't personally put in any type of coconut milk or raw cream. That's just me. But if that works for you, toss it in there. Take that around two or three. Once again, replacing those minerals. Salt is a big one. Everyone's healing journey is different. I understand that. Check with your physician. Those are all things that are going to help feed your adrenals and really help with your cortisol. The other thing, stop skipping breakfast. Just stop. It doesn't have to be a big gourmet breakfast, but just jumping up in the morning and, you know, stuffing a bunch of caffeine down your body is not doing you any good. Remember that blood sugar that we talked about? That's where that's coming in at, right? You need to make sure that you have stable blood sugar. That way you're not dealing with energy crashes. You're not dealing with all that extra belly fat, and you really are balanced in your mood as well. Gluten. I know. That's back on those food triggers, making sure that you have a list of your trigger foods and you know exactly what works for you. If you are sensitive to soy, corn, canola products, gluten, just remove them. I know. You just want to hold on to them because they taste so good. But do you want to keep eating those, or do you want to get this cortisol situation under control? Remember, caffeine is not an end-all be-all. It is going to give you a little bit of a high, but it's usually going to trigger a stress response. So be very conscious of how you're taking your caffeine in, when, where, why. I'm not demonizing coffee. What I am demonizing is moldy coffee, because if you're drinking coffee with a bunch of mold, you're going to have cortisol issues and a lot of other issues. Another thing, if you are someone that is struggling with your sleep and you're staying up really, really late at night, you have got to create a plan to get your circadian rhythm back on balance. I know it sucks when you're tired in the morning, but you need to wake up, get your buns on outside, get some of that sunlight into your eyes, into your body, and really get your body reprogrammed to wake up and have that cortisol spike in the morning and then let it decrease in the evening. You know that that cortisol is kicking in the evening, and if all of a sudden you have all the energy in the world to do everything, but then you are not productive during the day. I do want to touch on checking your water. I'm here in Arizona, and baby, the water quality here, do not get me started. It is full of just all kinds of toxins, period, point blank. Make sure you check your water. For some of us that have a toxin bucket that is already really full, we can't be tapping in on the tap water. You need to make sure that you have a really good filter. Circling back to the toxin bucket, there are some really great apps. One of the apps I love is called Think Dirty, and it is not what you think. It is Think Dirty, as in checking to see what chemicals are in some of the foods that you're eating, right? Some of the products that you're using, because remember that toxin bucket. If that toxin bucket is overflowing, it ain't gonna work for you. You cannot keep putting those toxins in the bucket, having it overflow, and then wondering why you have high cortisol. Please know, if you have high cortisol, your other hormones are in jeopardy of being imbalanced. So please do not focus all of your energy on decreasing your cortisol. Make sure you're working with myself or another provider so that you can get the full picture. I know it's really easy to just demonize one hormone or just want to take care of one thing, or I just want to lose the weight. It's April. I got to get that summer body. Yeah, we're going to have an episode about that summer body, because I think some of y'all are jumping on the HCG and the Ozempic and all of those things, and there's nothing against all of that. But I think that we need to be well informed on what these medications are doing to our bodies and what they are doing on the back end when it comes to our hormones. So hopefully you guys are empowered by this episode. You learned a little bit. Definitely save this one in your favorites. Hit your girl with a 5-star review if you learned something. You're listening to this episode and you're like, LJ, I want more of you. I need more. We do have a couple openings left in the hormone restoration program. We are going to be kicking off on April 17th. So honey, you need to grab those seats while they are available. Click the link in the show notes and book that discovery call. We have a couple seats left. It is a 12-week program. We do all the testing. If you're dealing with high cortisol, if you have some other things going on, maybe you're just like, LJ, I'm having problems and I don't know what the problem is. Baby, we still got a solution for you. Click the link, jump on the discovery call, and let's get you in the driver's seat of your health.